Going to introduce each speaker as they speak, beginning with Jean Afo. For the past 6 years, Jean Afo has served as chief of party for APC in Benin. Mr. Afo has more than 25 years of experience managing community health programs in Benin and in West and Central Africa more broadly, specializing in reproductive health, family planning, maternal and child health, HIV/AIDS, and health communication.
Thank you. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. I'm honored to be here today to tell my story. My sister, who is 3 years younger than me, was married at age 15. During her life, she and her husband have 8 children, and the first four never went to school. Her husband not believe in adopting family planning method to space their children births. My sister was already a grandmother when she had her 7th child at the age of 30. The delivery was very difficult and we almost lost her. She decided it was too risky to have more children but could not adopt a family planning method for fear of her husband's reaction. Unfortunately, 4 years later, she became pregnant again. After the birth of her 8th child, my wife, who is a midwife, and I helped to choose a method without her husband's consent. This helped her avoid pregnancy until her death in June 2012. After she died, my wife and I adopted her 4 youngest children. Like my little sister, thousands of women and couples in Benin do not have adequate information on family planning. Traditional attitudes still prevent men from learning how to space their births. For this reason, in 1999, I decided to dedicate my career and my life to promote community health and specifically voluntary family planning. Benin faces high maternal newborn and child mortality, poor modern family planning use, and health workers shortage. Nearly half of the population lives in rural areas with limited access to health services. Benin has struggled with a lack of political will around health. Fortunately, things began to change in 2010 when the government introduced a package of strategic health interventions. As APC has been working in Benin since 2013, the project's first assignments were to provide technical assistance to 3 local NGOs funded by USAID to strengthen community health systems and to expand family planning access to an area covering 3 million people. We learned that strengthening community health is critical to expanding voluntary family planning. We must involve religious and community leaders in the conversation. And third, local financing is key to sustainability. APC trained and supported community health workers to deliver basic health services. We work with national and local government and NGOs, partners to strengthen supervision, data collection and management, and to involve communities. Strengthening community health systems enable Benin to expand voluntary community-based family planning and introduce DMPSC, called Sayana Press in Benin, to underserved women. As a result, more than 1,000 community health workers were trained on the full range of family planning methods. So, how was this possible in communities where family planning is not always accepted? We found that Engaging religious and community leaders is critical. We listen to their concerns and generate excitement for family planning. Now, many leaders speak publicly about the benefits of voluntary family planning. Finally, there is the question of financing for health self-reliance. In Benin, mayors are supposed to provide community health funding, but they seldom do. In 2014, when we started, only two mayors were putting money toward community health. APC worked with the NGOs and to reduce mayors to develop, to educate mayors to develop community health plans and include budgets in the plans. This year, 18 mayors have allocated nearly $100,000 to their 2019 budgets. $100,000. The government is excited about this. In conclusion, Benin has come a long way in the past 20 years to improve health. While there is still much to do, I'm proud and encouraged by Benin's progress and its dedicated people, particularly those working in communities. I'm honoring my sister's legacy so that her children will have a better life. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you for that personal and very powerful story, and congratulations on the contributions and impact of the work in Benin. Next, we're going to hear from Frederick Mubiru. Frederick is the chief of party for the APC project in Uganda. He has 15 years of experience as a reproductive health and gender programming specialist. Frederick leads a team to implement programs that strengthen government leadership and address sociocultural barriers to family planning at national, subnational, and community levels.
Thank you very much, and good morning, everyone. I'm happy to be here to share with you the work we have been doing in Uganda. So my early career in the reproductive health work was in mostly in northern Uganda, in the northern part of the country, which was conflict affected at the time. And most of the programming at the time was around emergency obstetric care. We couldn't really do family planning. But in 2014, when the APC program launched in Uganda, I had the opportunity to take back to this area a program that was about voluntary family planning in a developmental arena. And over the years, I've seen one of the districts in this region really transform as regards voluntary family planning. And this particular district is called Agago. It's far north, very close to the Sudan. And it was really one of those most affected by the war. And I'll start with a quote from one of the meetings we had earlier in the program with one of the, from one of the participants who said that family planning makes women to behave like young girls and they go out and have fun. I think that tells you what kind of attitudes and norms we are going to confront by 2014. And after 3 years of working in this area, mostly promoting availability of family planning services through community health workers and quality family planning, USAID asked us to kind of shift gear to do business differently, to address the socio-cultural factors that affect the uptake and demand for family planning in these areas, but also to increase, to build ownership for family planning programs. And our first step was to carry out fertility hotspot mapping identification, which was an approach that used secondary data to analyze the country situation and identify where the high fertility hotspots, but also hotspots for high adolescent pregnancy, which is a national issue, were. And following that, then we did a deep dive using the USAID Passages Social Norm Exploration Toolkit to understand the deep-rooted drivers around that. We then worked with the stakeholders within these districts, the local government and USAID, to identify tailored interventions for the areas. So for instance, in the Agago district that I talked about earlier, we because there was an issue about male spousal support, we are implementing the Emanzi. Emanzi is simply a role model man. And it's an approach that takes them through a 9-week curriculum that addresses gender issues, but also teaches couple communication and joint decision making. While in another hotspot district, Buyende district in another region, we are working with faith-based leaders in that area to promote family planning through the Christian family life education curriculum. Now, in these districts that were selected were really high above the average in total fertility. So for instance, Agago has about, the women give birth about 8 children per woman, while the TFR at the national level, the total fertility is about 5.4. So when we changed approach in 2017, in these districts, we started focusing so much on social norm change, and we also addressed the issue of working with the districts to build ownership. And I was so impressed on my last visit to this Agago district when I found that the district, which we found earlier didn't have a lot of ownership and commitment to family planning, was now transformed. The planner in the meeting I was, which was a stakeholder meeting, he said that if a sub-county chief brought their budget without a line for family planning, I will not approve it, because I'm now convinced about the contribution family planning can make to our development. And again, we've increasingly, like I said earlier, worked with faith-based leaders, and we worked with, we had this young man, Mr. Peter Chimbowa, who was involved in a faith-based training curriculum activity, and he felt that he needed to reflect on his resources and the number of children he has, and he realized that he was not going to be able to give them a good life. And he chose to go back, talk to his wife, and they go to a public health facility. They went with the intention of getting a natural family planning method, but after engaging with the health worker, they took away an injectable contraception because they wanted to go with the method. So the success of the program in Uganda has been so much about working in partnerships with the local governments, national level government, using evidence, having tailored and adaptive interventions that address the deep-rooted barriers and social norms. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, and thank you for highlighting the importance of thinking about culture and tailored solutions, the idea that one size doesn't fit all, and we really need to be attentive to what we're learning from the community about what's going to work best for them. So our third TED Talk speaker is Susan Ocher. Susan is the Senior Technical Advisor at World Vision US. She is a trained and certified nurse midwife and currently leads the planning, development, implementation, and advocacy of projects on healthy timing and spacing of pregnancy and family planning. She's spent her career working on maternal, newborn, child, and reproductive health worldwide.
Thank you, Ellen, and good morning, everyone. I started out as a young Ghanaian nurse midwife in Ghana, and I wanted to save the world. I find myself in the eastern region of Ghana in a rural hospital. Then I got curious and I volunteered to join the National Expanded Program on Immunization. I was in for a real surprise. Well, the experience entailed walking long distances to communities, sometimes having to wear boots to wade through streams because of lack of road access, just to deliver immunization and maternal and child health services. My reward, the smiles and thank yous from the women and the men. Why were they so grateful? Well, the Minister of Health had brought services to them, to their communities, because someone cared. And that's how I find myself shifting from clinical to community health. So fast forward. Then I came to World Vision and worked with on our healthy timing and spacing and of pregnancy and family planning programs. That included this integrated project supported by the USAID Advancing Partners and Communities Project in 5 communities in Garbatula, in Isiolo County, Kenya, with approximately about 40,000 people. Our goal was to improve access and use of voluntary family planning for better maternal and child health outcomes. So here I am, working in a Christian organization, along with my colleagues, teaming up with a Muslim community just to make life better for women, children, and their families. I tell you, I was in for a real, you know, awesome opportunity. But first, let me tell you about Gabetula. Gabetula is in the northeastern part of Kenya. It is predominantly Muslim, very remote, very hot, and very dry. Frankly, it's like a desert. The people are poor, are mainly nomadic pastoralists, moving from one area to another just in search of pasture and water for their livestock. Remember earlier, I had indicated my first community health experience was in remote Ghana, but it was nothing compared to Gabetula, where health workers and community have had to face gunfire and tribal conflict over like a year and a half as we were implementing the program. Despite these challenges, we did not stop working. World Vision continues to work in Gabetula and in places where typically others do not. And as a Christian organization, we managed to get the trust of the people. So now we can boast of some successes. Firstly, we did our best to understand the community. The people in these communities did not really like the use of the word family planning, but the terminology birth spacing was okay. Why? Because it fits very nicely with the teachings of the Quran about the importance of keeping women healthy by spacing births and also allowing for breastfeeding. So in that of our World Vision's healthy timing and spacing of pregnancy approach to family planning was perfect for these communities and helped us gain the trust of different community groups like men, religious leaders, women's groups, and even teachers. So together we all joined hands and promoted understanding of voluntary family planning and adoption of healthy behaviors. Together, in 2018 alone, we reached nearly 14,000 men and women with messages on birth spacing and family planning. Secondly, we worked directly with religious leaders and community leaders to break barriers and understandings about family planning and made them confident to speak about birth spacing and family planning during Islamic teachings and in Quranic schools. In fact, in the past year, our data shows an increase in use and in longer-term methods. Thirdly, in collaboration with the Ministry of Health, we trained community health volunteers and nurses, added to family planning method choice, and integrated family planning into maternal and child health clinic days. This helped reach more women and their husbands. And these are promising practices, you will agree. To close, I have two reflections. In all our efforts, we've heard from the people in the community that the next call to action is to integrate food security into the Gabetula health programs. And personally, I think and I see this as a community's journey to self-reliance. Finally, World Vision through the Advancing Partners and Communities Project is the only organization implementing a birth spacing and family planning project. Together, we brought life-saving services to the people who needed it. And I think that counts as saving the world. I thank you for your attention.